Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Scientific research tests the boundaries of what we know and understand. Our next guests continue in that tradition. Their discovery extends the timeline of human existence in North America. We want to know how. We welcome Steve and Kathy Holan from Hot Springs Center for American Paleolithic Research. Steve Holan, welcome.
Well, it's nice to be talking with you.
Kathy, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you very much.
All right, get us started. Give us an overview of, where do you want to begin? Do you want to begin in Hot Springs? Do you want to begin in California? Where should we start, Kathy?
Well, I guess we can start with our move to Hot Springs. We put together a nonprofit to study the early peopling of the Americas, which has been Steve's life's work. And we established here in Hot Springs about 3 years ago now, close to that. But we've been working extensively on a site in San Diego, where back in 92 and 93, a mastodon was found that looked suspiciously like it had had humans involved with its processing of the bone and possibly other tissues on the carcass. And interestingly enough, there is a Hot Springs connection there because Dr. Larry Agenbrod, who was the director at the mammoth site here, was actually present at that excavation, as was Dr. Jim Mead, who is the current administrator at the mammoth site. So we did have a Hot Springs connection all along, but Steve and I got involved in about 2008 when Steve had known about this collection of bones that had been well curated at the San Diego Museum of Nature and Science, and he went out to look at it. We both went out to take a look at the collection and at the bone fragments that had been produced and conserved. And when we did, we really got a surprise because we could tell that the site was quite old, but it had many characteristic features on the bones that we associate with human percussion and breakage of the bones. And so that began our quest of the investigation of the mastodon site there in San Diego. So probably Steve should elaborate on that part, because Steve kind of was first on the scene as far as investigating the bone fragments.
Steve, take us there, and what some of your early, you know, is it hard as a scientist to sort of step back and say, oh, this is something that's really different, and to allow yourself to sort of believe that, even though all the evidence isn't in yet?
Well, I was quite shocked when I went there and looked at this bone the first time. The bones are heavily covered with calcium carbonate concretions, and those take tens of thousands of years to form on the bone. Hmm. And so I'm looking at this fractured bone, and I'd excavated several mammoth sites here in the Great Plains that have evidence of impact fracturing and flaking of bone by humans, and this was the same pattern that we saw on this mastodon site. That I knew that this mastodon site had to be much, much older than anything that I'd ever worked on. And Kathy would say, when I was there looking at the bone, I would be staring off into space, and she'd say, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I can't get my head around this. This goes against everything that I ever thought I knew, everything that I ever was taught. But here's the evidence sitting right in front of us, so we have to go ahead and do the research."
What have we found, what have you discovered since 1992, from those early discoveries to now in 2017? What do we know that we didn't know then, Steve?
Well, the evidence from this site is much better than the sites I worked on here at the Great Plains. And when we got involved in this in 2008, we also noticed that there were these large rocks associated with the mastodon bone, which we didn't have on the sites here in the Great Plains. So the evidence is even much stronger. So you have rocks that were used as hammers, rocks that were used as anvils, and you have the fractured bone sitting right around two anvils right where it was broken. And we have produced these kinds of fracture patterns on modern elephant bone, both in Tanzania, Africa, and then in an experiment when we lived in Colorado. So that's kind of what we've learned, is that we know how people produce these kinds of fracture patterns by doing it ourselves. And it takes a 32.5-pound rock to break an elephant femur bone when it's sitting on an anvil. And we know that because we did it. And that's about the size of rocks that were found with this mastodon in California. So these are the kinds of things that we've learned over the last, nearly 10 years now that we've been working on this project.
Do I want to know if there's some safety concerns with recreating some of this work? Kathy, does Steve just look at you and say, here, hold this?
Well, luckily, he's the one doing the holding, and we got a younger archaeologist actually with his youth and strength to wield the hammer stone. In both cases where we experimented in Africa and also in Erie, Colorado. So it was pretty exciting. It was dangerous in the sense, I guess, that we were breaking up, bone that was had been in the ground a while. It was stinky, and so that was a little bit dangerous. But the actual breakage, nothing happened to anybody. I don't think anybody had a problem.
Steve, do you think about the why? Is it just pretty much the what and the fact that the evidence is pointing toward humans were living much earlier in the Americas than we ever anticipated? Do you think about the why they were doing certain activities, why they were smashing bones at this site?
Well, there's two possible reasons that you would break up mastodon limb bones. One is to extract the very nutrient-rich marrow. It's very high in fat, and hunter-gatherer people needed a high-fat diet because they burned thousands of calories a day. So because they were very active. The other reason is this thick bone, especially on the femur of a mastodon or a mammoth, makes very good stone tools. And work in Africa at the site of Olduvai indicates that people have been breaking up elephant bones there for at least 1.5 million years. And then this technology spread with humans as they left Africa and spread all across the world into Europe and Asia and ultimately into North America. So it's a very old technology, and we understand it pretty well now.
Do you have a sense that there are other sites that might sort of mimic the site in San Diego? There are other places where you could have similar discoveries?
Well, the sites we've worked on in the Great Plains are only about 30,000 years old. So in California, it's 130,000 years old. So we're going to kind of change our research focus and spend more time in Southern California working on mammoth and mastodon sites there. And paleontologists have found another mammoth site there that has some of these same fracture patterns. And we're in the process of dating that site now. And we hope to find other sites, because just one site isn't going to convince everyone that humans were here 130,000 years ago. So we need to find another site or two or three sites to make this evidence more secure.
Steve, how convinced are you?
I'm 100% convinced.
So what's the holdup for other people? What are they looking for to where they'll be 100% convinced as well?
Well, a lot of people say, well, why don't you have chip stone tools like spear points or hand axes or things like that? And in this situation of the Cerruti mastodon site, it doesn't appear to be a kill and butchering site. It's only the mastodon probably died naturally, and people came along and just took away some of the bone fragments, probably to make bone tools or maybe to get some marrow out of it. So it wasn't really a complete kill and butchery site where you would expect to find chipstone tools for butchering.
Right. Kathy, we've got about a minute left. Give me an idea what you want to know next. What are you the most excited about in Southern California and potentially beyond?
I think what I want to point out first is that we have so many lines of evidence, including the marks on the stones that showed that they were used by people. And I think that's what we need to focus on looking for in the future. I really would like to find a similar site in the future. And the real thing we need to find, hopefully someday, are some semblance of living spaces where the people stayed for a period of time and left some of their other tools. Because this site, the people probably weren't present at this site very long. And so there's very little to show and demonstrate their presence. So I hope to find something where they stayed longer so we can see more of what they're doing.
Kathy, Steve Holland, thank you so much for being here. Come back and tell us more in the future. We appreciate your time.